Tonight's topic is a new nature in Christ. And we'll first discuss how did we become righteous. Again, we'll define what righteousness is again. To stand in God's presence without any sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority, as though sin had never existed. That's being righteous. And again, this topic is something that Susie and I feel so strongly about for this church, especially to have an understanding and a grasp of this. This has everything to do with where we're going to go as a church. It has everything to do with us being champions for Christ and fulfilling our destiny. And each of us must have an understanding of this, of righteousness. It's so vital to know this. But under the law, no one is righteous. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not one. That no man with a sin nature could ever fulfill the demands of the law. In Isaiah 64, it says, but we are all like an unclean thing. All of our righteousness are like filthy rags or filthy garments. Even at our best, before we were born again, our best deed, the best thing we ever did, the goodest, the nicest thing we ever did, was like a dirty garment. I'm not going to go much further than that. The men's dirty t-shirt. Not a pretty sight. Even at our best. And so there's no one righteous. You can't earn righteousness. It's a gift. And so through Jesus' offering for sin, we were made right with God. Just look over in 2 Corinthians 5. And you know what's amazing? And I came from a denominational church. Is you could have a church of 2,000 people and meeting weekly and doing good things in the community and going through all the motions of a church and not doing anything for God, for the kingdom of God. And is that something, like the church I was in, we had about 2,000 people in the church, and I don't even know if any of them were saved. Isn't that something? I don't know if any of them were saved, and that would be just so sad. I mean, first of all, to go through all we go through in church, listen to all the messages and do what we do, and then still have nothing after all is said, and then you're going to hell. But then what I think is bad also is to go through our whole Christian life and to be born again and to be saved and not know who we really are. That's a tragedy also, and that's the story of a lot, the other part of the body of Christ, that they don't even know who they are. And then they're blaming God or they're, you know, just waiting until they can go to heaven. But I believe by us understanding this, we can do the works that Jesus did. We can be like him and have a successful Christian life. All right, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Not pretend or kind of be righteous, but we become the righteousness of God in Christ. We are righteous. Everybody say that. I'm righteous. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Though Jesus never sinned, all of the sin of mankind, everything from Adam on, was put upon him. It was not a pretty sight at the cross. Every kind of sin and thing you can think of was put upon him. And as he took our sin upon himself, he bore its punishment. All of us, we deserved, just being born because of Adam, we deserved to die. We deserve separation from God. We deserve to be punished. And the scriptures talk about we deserve the wrath of God. You don't want to mess with the wrath of God. But that's what we deserved. But Jesus, aren't you glad tonight? Jesus took sin upon himself. He bore its punishment so that through our union with him, we might come into right standing with God. As our substitute, he substituted himself for us. He actually took our sin nature and exchanged his righteous nature for ours. And read through the Gospels and look at Jesus and look at his position. That's what you talked about last week, your position in God. And look at Jesus. He's our example. And his righteousness, his right standing with God was given to us. We have a good position. We have a good place with God tonight. We have favor. We have God's ear. When we talk and when we speak to God, God listens. He's interested in what we're doing and what we have to say. We became the righteousness of God in Him. We have that ability to go before God's presence. You won't be condemned or without fear. You don't have to be fear and trembling. You ever been in someone's presence or gone to someone's office, maybe the boss's office, and your heart's beating and you really don't want to be in there and you're just really uncomfortable and you'd rather be anywhere else? Maybe you're about to get chewed out. That's not the way it is. You walk into God's presence and His arms are wide open. He wants you there. You belong there. You've been made worthy to be in His presence. So we were newly created, given new natures, and we became brand new righteous people in Christ. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new species of being that never existed before. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have no past tonight. No record of sin. No record of wrongdoing. Old things are passed away. That ought to be one of those scriptures you ought to be saying every day. Old things passed away. Every day is a new day. Hallelujah. All right, look over in Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And people will pull that verse out of context and use that. Well, you see, everybody's a sinner. We're all sinners. But we were sinners, but we've been saved by grace. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We were justified, declared to be righteous freely through redemption. Through faith in the work of Christ, we were set right with God and now stand right before Him. And we've said this before, justified, never sinned. That is your position. Just if you've never sinned. Now, I don't know, but even this week I had something come up in my life, and I guess I was daydreaming. Wasn't using my time well. And I was daydreaming, and all of a sudden this thought of something I had done in my past came up. And I think we've all done that. Because what happened is the enemy is trying to bring that back up. And the minute I started thinking about those feelings I had, and it was not something that I want to share tonight that happened, but the minute I started thinking about that, the feelings that I had about that situation started coming on me. And it's like a burden. I just, started feeling bad about myself. I'm a no good worm. How can I ever be a minister or a preacher or all these different things? But in the middle of that, I've learned to realize that's not from God. And, sometimes that will happen in your thoughts, but sometimes someone else will bring it up. You ever had that happen? No one in here. It's never happened here at the Good News Church, but we got one person back here that happened to. But someone else will bring it up, and then you just start feeling bad about yourself. But what I've learned to do is to recognize that's not God. That's not from God. I've been justified. And so as far as in the records in heaven, and that's really all that matters. God's record-keeping system is really all that matters. It doesn't matter the file they have at you at work, or whether the file that the U.S. government has, or the file someone else has on you. It just matters the records in heaven. And in that record, and when you open that file in heaven, there's a bunch of stars by your name. There's a good report, good news about you, good things written about you. But what the devil is trying to do is he's trying to condemn you. He's trying to take, because what happens when you're condemned and when you feel ashamed of your sin, you start retreating. I've talked to many people. One of the reasons why they do not come back to church, they don't come back to church, is because they feel bad about their sins. And if you're there in a church where they're preaching sin, they feel even worse. But they don't come back and because they begin to shy away from church, shy away from people because of their record. My record's going to catch up with me. And people live in fear of their past. But God is telling you through His Word, you've been justified. You have no past concerning a sin past. And that's all been forgotten and forgiven. And you are clean and pure and holy before Him tonight. Hallelujah. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He cares about you. And in His file and in His book, you are a great, wonderful person. Isn't that good news tonight? Hallelujah. And so we don't need to bring it up. And so if those thoughts, it may come at all kind of time, learn to recognize that and stop it. Don't meditate on that. Because as you meditate on those things in the past, that's where the devil gets in there more. And that's today one of the primary reasons why we have backsliders, people today that should be in church, didn't know this. And when I learned this, I've never had a problem with backsliding. Because I know that when I went to God and when I asked Him for forgiveness, I received it. Even if it's something that I had done before. And we say it over and over again, but I'm going to say it on behalf of young people and other folks here tonight. Run to Jesus. Don't run from Him. As soon as, if you miss it, run to Him. He's going to forgive you. Now, this is not a license to sin, but no one in this room is wanting to sin and do wrong. I mean, I know you. You want to do good. You want to do the right things. But if you do miss it, run to Jesus. And it's amazing when the moment you confess it to God, the cleansing and the forgiveness comes, and then the wiping away of sin happens. When we believe in and receive Jesus as Lord, we come out from under the rule of law and we're made righteous. Look over in Romans 10. Anybody been in a church or have been under the law? You know what I'm talking about when I'm rules and regulations and standards that you can never live up to? I hope that's not the testimony of this church. But the law, Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Then on down to verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the moment that you make Jesus Christ your Lord, the moment that you're born again, you are made righteous. The problem that we've had in the church is we haven't had the information. If we could teach somebody, and that's really what we're trying to do, like with our New Life class and in the School for Life, is to teach people right away after they get saved, teach them these principles. If they would learn this, they could start walking in the benefits that it's taken some of us 15, 20, 10 years, whatever, to start walking in. They could start walking in right away. Wouldn't you have liked to, and maybe some of you have, is there anybody here that had just gotten saved and had heard about righteousness rather quickly after they got saved? I mean, many of us here, our testimony is, you know, maybe it's the first time when you came to this church. How many just heard about righteousness when they came to the Good News Church? Raise your hand. Bunch of hands. And let me ask you this, for those that have heard the message, has it been a help to you? Made a difference in your life? And so it'll set you free from the law. Because we're always trying to earn something. Always trying to, that's the way I was. I was definitely a sinner, no doubt about it. But I wasn't a hardcore sinner like some of the testimonies that I hear. I'm not going to name any names. I'm looking around. I see some of these faces and I know your testimony. So I was a good guy. I was a good person. And I went to church faithfully. But I was under the law, and I'm telling you, we're under the law. The law is bondage. I was miserable. I put on a good front to people. act happy and like everything's going right. But I'm telling you, when I lay down at night, I just felt so horrible about myself. Never worthy enough, never good enough, just couldn't hit the standard. And I don't know if you ever felt that way, but that's a miserable way to feel. That's very depressing. And when that continued for a long period of time, I think that's one of the reasons why when I got later in my teens where I wanted to kill myself, really. I think that's what led, because I'm a high achiever. Anybody that knows me, I'm going for it. I'm pushing it. I like to live on the edge. I don't want to just live an ordinary life, but I just could never attain the standard. And all these goals that were set, I could never reach them. And so I was miserable. But when I heard this message, I was set free. Set free from that. And I'm able to have the goals and do all that, but I don't feel like I have to do those things to have God's approval. I got God's approval the minute I was born again. Our relationship with God has been restored and reestablished because we now have peace with God who has reconciled us to himself. You ever been in and I know all of us here have been in a relationship with somebody and something happened, maybe somebody at work, maybe a situation with a family member. Have you ever been in a situation when you've been at odds with somebody? Anybody? Have you gotten mad at anybody? Have been separated from somebody? And depending on who the person is, maybe it's a person you want to be separated from. But if it's someone you really care about and you're separated, how do you feel? Miserable. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I broke up with Susie 4 times dating. I know, that's horrible, isn't it? And we were so pitiful, though, when we would break up. I remember one time I was just crying, and I'm just going to Susie. I'm crying when I'm talking to her. I just have to break up with you. I don't know why. I love you, but I've got to break up with you. Is that stupid or what? I mean, it's like some soap opera here. And then we'd break up for like a day or two, and we'd be just miserable. You know, you didn't want to be around her, and you didn't want to be around me, you know. You know, we just cared for each other. It was just horrible. But it was so wonderful when we would get back together. I'd call her, of course, you know, being the man I am, you know, the man of God. And I would call, you know, and I think one time I was at a park, and I think I was down on my knee begging for forgiveness. Wasn't that sweet? But I just felt so good when we got reconciled. How much better should we feel being reconciled with God? We're reconciled with God, and it's just not, you know, we're not going to be breaking up with God. This is forever. We're reconciled with Him. So we should feel good. You should feel like I did when I was on my knee talking to Susie. Ecstatic, happy, glad. All right. The past life of sin no longer haunts us. Salvation is more than a pardoning over our overlooking of our sins. Because a pardon would not solve the sin problem. Some of you don't remember this, but you remember when Richard Nixon was pardoned by Gerald Ford? You remember, and some people? Okay. Well, that was a pardoning, and I'm sure Richard Nixon felt better because he didn't have to go to jail. But really, it really didn't do much for him on the inside. It didn't change him on the inside. It was just a temporary relief from a tough situation. That's not what happened with God. We weren't pardoned. We didn't receive a pardon. And so God solved the sin problem and dealt sin a final fatal blow when Jesus came to do away with sin and put an end to sin by His self-sacrifice. That's what Hebrews 9:26 says. He put away sin. The Amplified says He abolished it. He made sin null and void. You ever put void on your check? That check can never be used. It cannot be cashed. It's voided. It's null and void. That's what happened with our sin. It was put away. It's been made of no effect. And so He cut off at the root and destroyed its power over mankind. And I've shared this before and you've heard this, but what He did, anybody, maybe you're a gardener or you like to take care of your lawn, but if you ever had a weed in your yard, and you just grabbed it and pulled it out, a big weed, but you didn't get the roots, what's going to happen? That the weed's going to come back. if you don't deal with the roots, you're still going to have the weeds. And that's really what Jesus did when he put away sin. He dealt with the root problem of sin, with the sin nature that we had. So we are more than just forgiven because our sins were remitted when we were born again. That's Acts 10:43. Whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Remit means to wipe away as though it had never happened. And this word is only used in connection with the new birth. Atonement, if you heard from the Old Testament, was just a covering. Atonement didn't deal with the root cause. Remission of sin dealt with the root cause in our lives. Any repenting, any giving up of sin, any penance does not bring man into good standing with God. He must be born again and have his sins remitted. And again, I'm from the Catholic background. I mean, we had to go through a lot to deal with our sins. What we had to do in the Catholic Church, we had to go to the priest and tell him our sins. I'm thinking about starting that up here at the church. No, I don't want to. I don't want to get involved. You and God just deal with it. But I mean, I'm telling you. And so you're sitting there in the congregation waiting to go see the priest, and man, you're feeling bad. Your palms are sweating. And you're about to go in there and talk to the priest and confess your sins. But you don't really tell him all the sins. You just tell him the small ones. Because you couldn't tell him all, you know, we'd be there all day. But you just, and then you just, you know, you feel so bad about your sin. And then so you start doing all these good things. You start treating your mother better and cleaning up and around, you know, cleaning your room and doing things, you know. Is that what you all know? But you start doing those things, trying to make up for your sin. But you can never do that. You can never make up for it. The only way you can make up, first of all, is being born again, and then to confess it. Penance is not something that we need to do. There is no punishment for our sin if we confess it. But penance is like we want to receive our punishment now. And, you know, in the Catholic Church, I mean, they go to the extremes. I mean, they'll crawl on their knees for so many feet. Guys actually even nail themselves to the cross. You ever seen that? Jesus doesn't need to go to the cross again. I mean, but they're trying to pay for their sin. Jesus paid the price. He paid the price for our sins. So the purpose of forgiveness of sins is for the believer to be restored in their fellowship with God. Turn over to 1 John 1, chapter 1. And many times when we think about 1 John 1, we think about 1 John 1, 9. That's where we confess our sin. And I think everybody probably thinks about that. But let's read some of the verses before then. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 is a verse about fellowship. It is about fellowship with God, and it's about fellowship with other people. That's the whole thing about why God sent his Son. God, and again, we may still at this point may not understand it, but God wants to fellowship with us. God wants to know us. God wants to have relationship with us. God wants to talk to us and for us to talk to him. He is interested in our lives. And so many times we think about 1 John 1, 9, well, that's about confessing our sin. We need to confess our sin. But the whole purpose of it, when you sin, you step out of fellowship with God. The relationship, if you're born again, never changes. The relationship's still there, but you're now out of fellowship. And it's the same thing maybe with a child. I mean, that's probably the best example, with a child. I mean, my kids are always going to be my sons and daughters. They could never do anything to change that position that they have. But there may be times we could be out of fellowship. I hope not. But if we're out of fellowship, we need to get back together. And that's what 1 John 1:9 is about. It's a mechanism. It's a something that God has put in place to restore fellowship if we ever get out of fellowship. But God wants you to be in fellowship with Him. Isn't that awesome? God, the creator of heaven and earth, the almighty God, El Shaddai, the all-knowing, all-powerful one, wants to have fellowship with us. I get excited about that. I mean, He loves to talk with me and just be together. Loves to be in fellowship. And so that's what it's about. And when you're in fellowship with God, when you have that fellowship with God working properly, then you're going to be in fellowship with other people. And that's why it's difficult for people that have a real sin consciousness or do not understand righteousness, why they have such a hard time with relationships. Very difficult to have good relationships if you don't understand righteousness. Or if you're constantly condemned or beat down about your life and how bad you are, it's very difficult for you to have any kind of fellowship with other people. But God accepts the sinner as he is. And for some of us tonight, I mean, this is good news. No matter how deep or how far into sin he has gone, the new birth will straighten him out and restore him. Adolf Hitler. I don't know how many Jews he was responsible for killing anywhere, or for different people, from 6 to 20 million, the different reports. Now, you may not like this. I mean, I think in our mind kind of goes tilt on this. But after all that, on his deathbed, he's about to die, he could make Jesus Christ his Lord. And the blood is powerful enough to cleanse him. Isn't that awesome? So what about us? Well, we certainly haven't done that, but whatever we've done, whatever is in our past, or we can come to God and we can confess to Him. And I think sometimes, and that's why we call it the good news. That's why we're the good news church. And that's why it's so awesome when we go out in the street, people are saying, you mean that's all I have to do to be born again? Because they've heard all this religion. Well, you know, I got to jump through all these hoops. I got to cut my hair. I got to have this tattoo removed. I got to get me a job. I got to do all these different things. And then what they want to do, see, they want to clean themselves out and then come to God. But see, you can never do enough cleaning. Isn't it awesome when you're talking to somebody and you share this message, especially someone, I mean, just lived a horrible life and just messed up, and you share this message with them, and all of a sudden they get it. And then they make Jesus Christ their Lord. And then it's like when you're talking to them, it's like you just see the weight of the world come off them. The burdens of life are just gone. Their past is, I mean, all the things that have happened. I mean, it is an awesome thing. Praise God. And so that's why we've got a message. I mean, but it doesn't have to be someone like Adolf Hitler. It could be someone that's going to church somewhere. Someone on the outside, they look good, they act good, they say all the right things. But on the inside, they're not born again. Hallelujah. Righteousness is available to and made for every man. And then this scripture, again, has been helpful to me, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Condemnation, really, condemnation is the opposite of righteousness. Condemnation is judgment. It's being disapproved of strongly, to censor, to declare guilty of wrongdoing. It's to doom. And that's how many people feel today, whether you're in church or not in church, born again, not born again. This is how many people feel. And this is why many people do not do anything for God, or never accomplish anything for God, because they're so condemned. They feel so bad about themselves. They feel so unworthy. I could never pray for anybody. I'll ask the pastor to do it. I could never be used of God. I could never lead someone to Christ. I'm not good enough. I could never be a minister. I could never teach a class. I could never serve in the ministry of helps. I'm just not good enough. I got good news. You may not be good enough in your own abilities, but God has made you good enough. And He's made you righteous. And so we need to grow in this. And the more you grow in this righteousness, the more confidence you have, the more boldness you have, the more you're willing to step out. Because you know when you step out, God's going to back you up. And you, when you speak, you know you're speaking for God. When you lay hands on somebody, you're laying His hands on somebody. This is what a righteous person understands. And a righteous person understands that we are Jesus to the world. Wherever we go, at our jobs, in our families, wherever we go, we are Jesus to the world. We've been given His position. We've been given His nature to the world. And really, God is not, Jesus is not walking the earth doing miracles. He's working through believers, people today who know they're righteous. And I believe He's working through the people here today. God did not send Jesus to declare us unfit, unacceptable, or useless, but to make us fit, acceptable, and useful to Him. All right, let's talk about the nature of the new creation. Let's look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature, underline that word, nature. We were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Sin was natural for us. Sin was normal for us. Don't ever be surprised by a person that's not born again by what they do. You know, some person that's just, you think like a great person, all of them, they kill somebody or just do something. Don't be surprised, because that is their nature. Their nature is to sin. Now, some people allow that nature to come out in a greater demonstration than others. But I'm telling you, anybody that's not born again, they're capable of just about anything, really, in the right circumstances, if you're not born again. Because why? Because it's a nature. That's what's natural for you. You know, we just got a puppy, Ruby, a golden retriever. And we have not trained her, but Ruby knows how to dig holes in the garden. And Ruby already knows at how many months old she is. She already knows we throw something, she goes and gets it and brings it to us. That's just a part of her nature. That's natural for her to do those things. You know, a natural instincts. Well, I'm telling you, it's the same thing with a person. There's inherent tendencies. There's things about us. If we're not born again, you have the nature. You have the nature of the devil. All that he is killing, stealing, and destroying. That's the nature of someone that's not born again. Your nature is to do evil. It's to do wrong things. Your nature is the essential character of a thing. It's your inherent tendencies, inborn characteristics. And we say sometimes, well, and especially people that are homosexuals are involved in that, I should say. Well, they said, that's just my nature. I was born with that. Or, you know, a mass murderer, that's just his destiny. He has that in him. That's his nature. No, that's not true. It's not because they have a nature to be homosexual. They have a sin nature. And that sin nature causes them to do the things that they're doing. So when we live by the ways of the world, and we were ruled by the lusts of our flesh. But now let's read the rest of the verses here. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now we are in Christ, and we're forever united with Him. Through the new birth, we become a brand new species of people who have never existed before. And, we are now in Christ people. And one of the images that I have is the image of Clark Kent. Everybody know about Clark Kent, right? Superman. Well, to everyone else, Clark Kent was the humble, lovable newspaper man. Mild-mannered. Not capable, of doing very much. But I'm telling you, when trouble came, what happened? Went to the phone booth, turned into Superman. Underneath, the real Clark Kent was Superman. And I'm telling you tonight that you're supermen and superwomen. You've got a new nature. You've got Jesus' nature. Now, I tried that Superman thing one time. Growing up, we had a three-level house, stairs going up in the attic, and I had this bright idea that I was going to be Superman. And so I stood up on the top step, and I had my cape on, and I jumped down the stairs. And what I found out is I couldn't fly. It was about 15 steps. Woo! Don't try that at home. But when you're born again, you take on the nature of Jesus, and you become a superhuman person. You're a new species of being, a new creature. The past has passed, and a new life has begun. You've got what Adam had in the garden before he fell, and more. You are unlike anything in all of history. You don't have a problem with drugs, alcohol, lust, or anger, right? Because the root cause of sin has been done away with. God has given us great promises, which we may partake of God's divine nature. Look over in 2 Peter. Just read that verse. 2 Peter 1:4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Remember before I had you underline the nature that you had? The devil's nature? Now, that's been replaced with a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And the best way I can show you this is through an illustration here. What do I have here? Bottle of water. What do I have here? I have a container, right? Glass. If I pour that water in here, do I have a different substance in this glass? It's the same substance, right? Okay, you're talking about, amounts. Well, God is a spirit. We are a spirit. When we are born again, we've been given the divine nature. We've been given His nature. It's not something different. It's the same. The same nature that God has, we have. Hallelujah. And so our nature now, our tendencies are to do right, to be good. It's not our nature to sin. It's our nature to bless people. It's our nature to help people. If you just let your light shine, you're going to be like God. Act like God. Do things like God. My kids have inherited things from me, different characteristics. And same from Susie. It's the same thing. We've inherited God's characteristics. He is in us. We're born again. We're saved. His Spirit is in us. We have God's nature. We're a different species of being. We're no longer being controlled by sin and lust and doing wrong. We now have God's nature. A divine character. Divine, the word divine means like God. Godlike. What does the Bible say in Genesis? We were made in His image. We were made in His likeness. We are a reflection of God. We're not something different. Now, again, He is the Most High God. Obviously, He's in a place that no one else can attain. But the Scriptures say over in Psalms, we were made a little lower than God. A little lower, not a lot lower, a little lower than God. His characteristics, His tendencies, His creative power. His creative power is in us. His anointing is in us. His prosperity is in us. His power to bring people together is in us. His peace is in us. Everything that God is in us. The same. We're of the same spirit. That old nature. You do not have a sin nature. Now you may still have problems with your flesh, but you don't have a sin nature. You have the divine nature. You have God's nature. And so we now share in His abilities. We have the same authority. It was just awesome. That's the last time we went to Waynesboro. I mean, just the favor that we had with people. But I'm telling you, I was being treated. I mean, just the graciousness and the favor and the way that the people responded. It was like this message of, they had never heard before suddenly came. And then when one of the guys told me, said, we've never had a message like this come to our area. Never had this come to this area like this. What was it? They were responding to God in me. They were responding to love. Had never seen love like that. The only thing I was doing, I was letting my light shine. I wasn't there just trying to get another trophy and another number for our, to meet our goal. I was there because I was sent by God. That I wanted to please God. I wanted to be used by God. And I just allowed the God in me to minister. And that's just not for me. That's for everybody. You represent God. You are His representative. When you arrive on the scene, Jesus arrives. You can walk into a situation, the storm and the winds are raging, and you can speak to it, and it'll be still. It'll stop. You have that power. You have that ability. You have that creative ability. You can create your business into just something unlimited potential. Your home can be like heaven. Your marriage can be like heaven. Your personal life can be in order. All these different things. Why is that possible? Because God's nature, His divine nature, His divine abilities are on the inside of us. It's the same. It's the same. God's nature and our nature, it's the same. When you were born again, you now have His divine nature. And then if you mess up, some of those days we don't act like God, then we got 1 John 1:9. And get right back into position again. Back to our duties and of being His ambassador. We were recreated to be a new man who live in true righteousness, which is the very nature of Father God. He is righteous, so are we. He is healed, so are we. He is prosperous, so are we. He has joy, so do we. Hallelujah. We are now new men who have been made right with God and have a great position with Him. It's now our nature to do good works. And I'll share this story again. You've heard it already, but Pastor Mark Barclay shared this story about a man in his church, pretty faithful man in his church. And suddenly he didn't see this man at church anymore for a while. And he called him in to talk to him and find out what was going on. And the man came up to him and just said, Pastor, I'm going to have to leave this church. I'm not worthy to be a member of this church anymore. I've sinned. I've done some things, some terrible things. And the pastor, he said, well, what's happened? He said, well, I was attempting to witness to my friends, and I went over to their house, and they were gambling, and I got involved in that, and drinking, and cussing, and doing all these different things. And I just started doing that, and I had really good intentions, but I just fell back into kind of some old patterns that I had, and, I'm just a hypocrite, and I'm going to have to leave the church. And then the pastor says, no, you've got it all wrong. You're not being a hypocrite by doing those things. You're being a hypocrite by not coming to church. Because that's not your nature to do those things. Your nature is to praise God. Your nature is to worship God. Your nature is to win people to Jesus. You'd be a hypocrite if you don't come back to church. Because that's your nature. That's who you are. And that's the same for all of us. That's our nature to do right. To do good. You don't do works to be approved. You have the approval, so you do good works. All right, through living as a new creations that we are, we produce the fruits of righteousness. John 15:5, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. We produce what He would produce. You know, the same sap, the same stuff that's in the vine is in the branches. The exact same thing that's in Jesus is in us. That's why we can produce fruit for the kingdom of God. We bear much fruit, that scripture says. We bear much fruit. Everybody say, I bear much fruit. If you understand that you're righteous, if you understand your position, you're going to bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. And that's why we're spending time teaching these things in the School for Life. I believe you're going to take this message and you're going to go out on the streets and be a bold witness. I believe you're going to take the gospel to wherever you go because you know who you are. You're not going to be intimidated by any devil. You're not going to be intimidated by any situation. Not afraid of man nor beast. You're not afraid. You are righteous. You are the righteousness of God. We bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives for others to eat. This is the fruit that comes from being righteous. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no need for the law when you operate in righteousness. There's no need for the law. Because when you walk in righteousness, you'll supersede the law. You'll go way beyond the law ever could. Look over in John 14:12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Now, I think for many of us, I remember the first time I read that, I started in Matthew after I got saved, and I started reading through the Bible, and I read that, and I just thought, that's impossible. They didn't know what they were doing that day. The Holy Spirit missed it that day. Had an off day when they were writing that scripture. John missed it there. He wasn't hearing it right from the Spirit of God. Look what it says. I say to you, he who believes in me. Everyone here is believers tonight, right? Everybody here is in Christ. The works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than Jesus, he will do because I go to my Father. We go about doing the same works Jesus did. And I'm telling you, one of the greater works is getting someone born again, getting someone saved. That's part of the greater works. And again, part of the vision of this church, the Good News Church, is established so that all people in our world will be saved and will come to know and fulfill God's plan for their lives. As we realize that, you know, our Brother Hagin said that we would be known as the Glory Barn. And I've thought about that, and I've thought about that and what that means. There's a lot of different interpretations. You know, a barn is where you bring harvest. You bring the harvest in, or we're going to have the glory of God in our services, and there's going to be miracles and signs and wonders. And I was just kind of praying, Lord, how is this going to happen? How will we be known as the Glory Barn? How will that come to pass? And he said specifically to me, when the church understands who they are, when the church understands that they've been made righteous, when this church, when a large number of people in this church understand this message, you'll be known as the Glory Barn. Why is that? Because not just the pastor, but down to the lowest part of the ministry, those that are just being trained, they'll be going about doing greater works. And we're already having that happen. We're having people coming to the church, even some people that have just gotten saved, they're going out in the streets and already involved in greater works. Already. And I'm seeing many of you, some of you here tonight, and some at one time told me, I just can't do it. I can't witness to people. I can't share the gospel. That's just not my thing. And these are the people now that are out in the street, and you can't get them to stop. They don't know when to quit. The other day we had our salvation marathon. We started, what was it, 10:30? We started, and we came back at what, 5? Met back out here at 5. And I mean, it was a pretty long day. We talked to hundreds of people and all kinds of situations. And we were sitting there, and there was people in the group. They were ready, willing, and able to go back out because we hadn't quite reached the goal yet. And I just kind of felt in my spirit and was talking to Nick, and we kind of felt we didn't need to go back out. And praise God, we ended up reaching the next day. But I'm just telling you, people that before, you know, when they first came, would never even thought of being out in the street. What's happening? They're beginning to realize who they are. They realize that this the Holy Ghost coming on them is for a reason. It's not so we just have goosebumps and have good feelings. The Holy Ghost has come upon us to be witnesses. And you know what? I'm hearing more and more testimonies as time goes on, more and more testimonies of people in this church going to hospitals and praying for people. More and more people in this church stepping out and doing things that they used to ask me to do. I mean, it's exciting. What's happened? We're learning who we are. That condemnation and that guilt and that feeling of worthlessness and being a worm and not being able to do anything for God, that's just going away. And we're getting more confident and we're getting bolder because we're righteous. We've been given a good position. We don't have to earn it. It's a free gift. This is who we are. This is our nature. And we're just letting God's nature in us shine. And what happens when this starts sweeping through this congregation, and when people more and more, I mean, it's going to get contagious. And people are going to start getting even bolder and doing even more outrageous things. I mean, we had some outrageous people in this church. One couple, they were going to a family reunion. And I think they had might have had, I don't know how many people, over 25 people. And it ended up, they preached the gospel. And how many got saved that day? All but two. Praise God. At the family reunion. Family reunions is just where you eat fried chicken and, you know, play some sport or just do something. But, you know, nothing of significance rarely happens at family reunions. But praise God, they got saved. But I'm telling you, I'm believing these words tonight, they're going into you that they're going to produce. They're going to produce for the kingdom of God. I believe you see it a little more tonight. But you just keep at it. You, in your confession time, you keep saying, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm in Him, and He's in me. Greater works than these we will do. Greater works than Jesus we will do. Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. We cast out devils. We speak with new tongues. You begin to talk about it. You begin to speak and say these things, and your confidence level is going to grow and grow. That's what happened to me. My confidence level grew and grew and grew, finally to the place that I thought, I could start a church. Isn't that crazy? My mom and dad said to me, you know, on the phone call when I said we were going to start the church, the first thing they said to me, don't quit your day job. They had no confidence. You know, we had a faithful few family members show up, you know, and some other folks show up. We just believe God spoke to us, and we just had confidence in God and who we are and His power working through us. And we went ahead and started that thing, started the church. Praise God. Righteousness will cause you to step out. Righteousness will cause you to walk on the water. Righteousness will enable you to do things you've never dreamed of because of your position. Amen? Hallelujah. And I believe we're growing in this thing. We're going to see it more and more and more. And we're going to see more signs and wonders. We're going to see more people saved. We're going to see this church fill up, and then with two services, and then we'll go to another building. Nothing can contain our group of people that know who they are in Christ. Amen? Praise God. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for your word. Your word is the truth. Father, I pray that I'm not speaking to deaf ears tonight. I thank you that your word is going forth, that it's being heard, and it's being acted on, and that it will not come back void, but it's prospering in the thing for which it's sent, and that we will realize fully who we are in Christ, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for the fruits of righteousness tonight. Thank you for much fruit in this church, much fruit in our lives. And I give you the praise, and I give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.